This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Beatles spent, like, a bad amount of money recording this song.
That's not good, right?
Not necessarily.
Not at all.
You're watching the If I Were You show. Well, you know, they're gonna give you some advice. Just write to the If I Were You bros, and then you'll know exactly how to live your life. And if you wanna know your function, don't you know you gotta seize the G's? Don't you know they're gonna give advice? Advice,
but
you know they're gonna give advice.
I get the golden mic.
That was the Beatles,
mate. Wow.
Well, not
Sir
the Beatles.
Paul,
Beatles.
Thank you. What's that?
It was a Beatles parody, I should say, not the Beatles.
The Beatles, man.
It was actually
so wasn't.
And
Paul McCartney?
No.
Did Ringo do the drums on it?
He didn't. I mean, okay. He technically wrote the drums. I don't know. Is that how it works when you're a drummer? You can write the drums.
You write the drums. Didn't you say yesterday on Twitter, the drums are the only instrument you could play by accident?
Yeah, and I thought that was an interesting point where it's like no other instrument can you just sort of run into a set and people will be like, that's not too dissimilar from the greatest one on earth, you know what I mean? Not to be like insulting in a way, but like
not to be little drumming.
Yes,
but
it
is
seems,
even
though,
drumming, it's something you can kind of do like this.
Yeah, like I'm like
bing, bing, bing,
you
bing.
Take Travis
boom, boom.
From Blink-182 and
yeah, like
4-year-old
a baby.
That doesn't know how to use his hands yet,
because even like, to have rhythm isn't that, like, check this out.
Yeah 2, 3, 4. 2, 4, 5.
Sorry, I'm getting nervous, but
well,
yeah, like
rhythm
generally,
is the hard part. Yeah,
right. Yeah,
but like it's, anybody it's, can bash a thing. Is what
it's
I'm
really just
say.
Counting to four at different speeds. So you're like, you're right. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. But yeah, it's like not that hard. Like the way that, like
the hardest
know, five,
part
six,
is saying
seven, eight,
and in between because you're so used to saying 1, 2, 3, 4. You have to say 1 and.
I wonder, you could even do like 1, 2, or whatever. That's probably fine. Ultimately,
yeah, you could just
one,
what if you go 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3, 4, 5 Mississippi, rock and roll.
Yeah, that's fucking tight. That's awesome.
And you'll never see a band that's just drummers because that wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, I've seen a band with 2 drummers.
Really?
Everclear actually had 2 drummers when I saw them at Quinnipiac back in 2002. It was like one guy that was just on a drum set and another dude who was on kind of like a standing, it was like just a, like 2 bass drums and a cymbal. It was fucking absolutely savage. It was so
really
epic.
Cool. It was Fred Savage actually. And Ben Savage. That's
it was
how
Fred
savage.
And Ben Savage.
Yeah.
Savage of mine.
Is that
tell
their
me
song?
Where have you been?
Where have you, Fred? They actually just did a Goldfish commercial.
And the Savage Brothers?
Yeah, and they looked
or Everclear?
Good. I think it was the Savage Brothers, yeah.
That's cool.
Elias Olsen from Canada. So thank
Love
you.
It.
That's who wrote this Beatles parody. Did you watch that Beatles doc that everyone was ranting and raving about?
I watched the first one. I think it was a 2-parter, right?
It was a 9 or 10-parter, I think.
No.
I heard people
really?
Saying that it was way too long, but ultimately interesting and enjoyable. It was called,
wow.
What is it called? Beatles documentary. 2020. It was like the name of one of their songs. Get Back. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched. Are you sure it's 9 parts?
No. I guess it's 3, but each one is 2 hours.
Right. I watched one, and it definitely felt like enough.
Yes.
But, I mean, they're so fucking talented. It's crazy.
Really?
They could just take any 4 words. It doesn't matter what they are. And just turn it into a fucking hit song. Get Back is 2 words.
Yeah.
Get Back.
And they were just. And then do they show how they come up with it? So it's like, how about it sounds like this? And they're just like.
And it's just Paul and John. It's just them, like, it's just them just harmonizing on everything. There's like, oh yeah, here's a little thing, and I'll sing Knock on My Door.
Yeah. Knock on my door.
And then John starts going, knock on my door. And it just sounds fucking incredible. It doesn't matter what the 4 words are. It's the Beatles, perfect.
They can sort of just fart out hits after hits after hits. They like crack the code.
Right. Like Paul, he's like dicking around on his guitar like you and I would on a fidget spinner. And then he just starts humming Let It Be. And he's like, oh, all right. Yeah. One of the greatest songs ever written. You just... Yeah. Kind of dicked around and wrote
and
it.
And then they get high and they go, imagine there's no heaven. And they're like, yeah, right. And give me my guitar. Yeah, that one had already been written, so like they were really stoned out of their gourd. They hadn't even realized it. He was just actually quoting his own song in that example, but he still had written it before, which is very impressive.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track.
What's your favorite Beatles song?
Mean Mr. Mustard. Mr. Mustard sits in the park. He never stops. He's a go-getter.
It's like subjective, but you're not a good fan if that's your
really
favorite. Yeah, it's not like it's deep, Mustard's interesting.
A great
cut.
Song.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like even Lennon would be like, you don't get it, mate. If you think that's the best,
I also like Octopus's Garden
because he kind of says pussy in it.
There's another one that I can't think of now. What's your favorite?
I have 2. Thank you for asking. Do you want the deep cut or the classic I've heard of before? Because you will only get 1.
Oh, interesting. I guess I want the classic.
Really?
Because I won't know it. You'll give me the deep cut and I won't know it. And I'll be like, oh, that's not that interesting. Yeah.
My favorite is the one that goes, it just starts and it goes, close your eyes and I'll kiss you tomorrow, I'll wish you. Do they have that in the documentary?
I don't remember. Not that I remember. I don't.
All My Lovin', that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. They might. I mean, I only watched the first one.
I like ones that just start, like, there's no intro. Like, literally, you press play and it just, close your eyes. And it's just like, you're instantly into the best part of the song.
Is Across the Universe, is Across the Universe like that?
No, that one starts with, yes. It's like, words are flowing out like endless rain. Yeah. Is there like an intro or do they also just start singing? Maybe that's what they were so good about. They were just like, let's get rid of the fucking 4 to 8 seconds at the top and I'll just start singing because that's the best part.
That's right.
So it's actually not that impressive.
I'm saying I really think it's just about choosing the 4 words, like, and then saying them in an interesting way. So like
we've never even tried to do that. There's a world where like they probably got lucky because like a music teacher was like, "What do you got?" And he'd be like, "I want to hold your hand." Right.
How about
but nobody ever asked us to do that?
Wave hello to me.
Okay.
Wave hello to me. That's 4 words. It kind of means good. Something. It's like,
so it's like about a hot girl crossing the
street.
It
doesn't have to be about anything. It's just about, it's 4 words. You know? Whatever.
Wave
hello to me. And then it's, you would like harmonize on that. So it's like, wave hello.
I don't know what harmonizing is, but yeah, that's interesting.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. It's like, those are the 4 words. And that's
what
really
about the verse?
The verse?
Because that's the chorus, right? Wave hello to me.
People really only give a fuck about the chorus. So the verse would be
because when
like,
I said, close your eyes, that's the verse. Yeah. It's not.
Right, but it's
yeah, like, the chorus is all my love.
I walk across. I'm talking. I'm trying to sing right now. So
this is what the documentary
across the street
is like.
And you are there in the store and I
so
say,
it is about somebody crossing the street. Because like yeah, that's what I said somebody, and you said
it's about
it doesn't
a neighborhood.
Matter.
It's about being around a
Abbey
love
Road.
Of yours. Yes, exactly. Wave hello to me.
I'll say
wave hello to me.
Crossing wave the street hello. And I think I see
you're butchering it. You're at like, this is what I'm trying to, John and Paul had this like fucking really, you know, they had a relationship that they were just like really in lockstep with each other. And I feel like I'm,
I feel like I'm
a Paul and a John.
I'm a Paul.
And it feels almost like
that you're a John. Really? That's yeah, what I am.
I'm a very, see, yeah. And that's why you're not focused on anything. I'm trying to write fucking hits, okay? Let's just come up with another fucking song.
How about this one? I may not always love you.
That's a Beatles song.
No, it's not. It's a fucking Beach Boys song.
Okay. Well, then I don't want to... Fine.
God only knows what I'd be without... That, all right. That's three words, which is better than the Beatles because they didn't even need the fourth.
God only knows what I'd be without.
No, like, God only knows.
It's
God
two verbose.
Yeah.
Right. No. It's, I mean, get back. That's
what, perfect. That's about, two. Oh, right. What about help? That's just one.
Right. Just
I need
one.
Somebody. Help.
Yeah. Oh, and twist and shout, you know, three.
Yes. They could all be like a certain amount of words is what I'm trying to figure out.
I think it has to be less than four is my thing.
Interesting. So like. My favorite deep cut is, it starts with, I've just seen a face, I can't forget the time or place where we just met.
Yeah. Is that a deep cut?
That's pretty, it's more obscure than the others, but I don't even remember what the name. Falling, yes, I am falling, and she keeps calling me back again. I think it's called I've Just Seen a Face. So that one doesn't really do the four rule. That one's more of like a full sentence stream of consciousness kind.
Right.
But again, they got so fucking rip-roaringly high on drugs. At a certain point, they were singing about like a fucking green boat or some shit like that. It was like this green, like fucking submarine, Mr. Pepper Lonely Club.
We all live in a yellow submarine. And that was where they were bottoming out, actually. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band.
Yeah.
Too many words.
Yeah.
Too many words. It's all about that four or less.
Also, like, they only created albums in 1967 and 68. Like, you think of, like, their entire fucking musical journey. It was 20 months. Like, they came here. They did the Ed Sullivan thing. They peaked. They did drugs. They bottomed out. And one of them got assassinated all within, like a year and a half, basically. But it was so fucking...
I thought John got assassinated, like, much later.
Okay.
We obviously don't know enough about the Beatles. I can already see like my app mentions. Yeah.
This isn't like about the truth. It just, I like to say interesting things because if you also don't know a lot, then it's kind of interesting to hear me say the things that are like, would be fascinating if true, whether it's like 7 years or like 18 months. What I'm trying to say is the same, that the Beatles, the whole timeline of it is interesting when you think about it.
Here Comes the Sun. How about that one?
Comes four.
Four, exactly.
And that one's really easy because it's not even about a girl.
Mm-hmm. Love Me Do, three.
That one's weird because it says do at the end. Like, you didn't need that third word. So it's like, love me. All right, great, two words. Well, do.
That's what I'm saying. Well, yeah, they're not,
do is
they're
assumed,
not perfect.
Man.
I think there's like room
love
for
me.
Us to come in.
Here Comes the Sun is really easy. I could have done that one. Really nice shirt.
Really nice shirt. How does that, like, go to you?
She's got a face and I'm thinking about her all the time. She's got a really nice shirt. it's
like,
to the tune of,
feels like
she really
of
loves me. Yeah. She really loves me. What about when Eminem goes, two Trillebark girls go round the outside.
Did we quote that in a really early Jake and Amir, actually?
Did we?
I remember so well, like, just being laughing so hard in the old College Humor conference room that I couldn't, like, I never thought.
Because I said two trailer park girls go around the outside.
I feel like I say it. Like, I'm saying that you don't know how to freestyle, then you tell me to. And I say two trailer park girls go around the outside.
It's I freestyle and I keep launching, like drifting into Eminem.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. But I don't know if it's that specific part or like a different Eminem. You're like, that's Eminem. Like, I don't know, because I'm like lost in thought. Maybe it's like Mom's Spaghetti or something like that. Anyway, we are not entirely musicians. Whether you could tell or not, based on what we were able to do just now in 10, 15 quick minutes, whip out 5 to 10 literal radio hits if we put our minds to it. We're actually just podcasters, advice podcasters. This is If I Were You, the only advice show on the web hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
We haven't recorded in so long.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
I don't think... correct me if I'm wrong, but did you have a 2 on Wordle under your belt when we recorded last? This is like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't think I did. But you know what else I didn't have under my belt was an X.
Wow.
So the high both have happened.
And did the high of the 2 feel greater than the low of the X?
I'll tell you what, the X, I was like, it didn't feel like an X, because it was one of those that were like, it can be like latch, batch, patch, watch.
Yeah, it's like, and it's random. Like, it didn't take skill at that point.
Right. It was just like guessing letters, and it was like, it's either, I think it was like cater or later or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's what it was. And I was like down to, it was either water or cater.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a coin toss. I just have to write, I have to do it. And I guessed water, and it was cater.
Well,
and then
other people would have cheated. Other people wouldn't have told anybody. And you said, you know what? I'm going for it. And even if I get the X, I'm going to tell people about it. So that's, there's some admiration in that.
Yeah.
But then when you went from your, this is what the movie Deus Ex Machina is about, actually. It's about getting 2s and X's in Wordle. You stuck to it, and then you ended up getting a 2 the other day. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, did you get back-to-back 2s?
Not back-to-back. I think I got a 2 this week. I mean, you'd be able to tell because that was the day that I left the Wordle Slack.
It was like Monday or Tuesday, and today's Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was. I think it was a Tuesday because my sister, Hannah, actually got a 2 that day as well.
Yes.
And I remember writing, and she had gotten back-to-back 2s. She got a 2 on Monday and a 2 on Tuesday. And I said, back-to-back 2s on a Tuesday. And then later I did it.
Did you leave your family Wordle group too, or was that just a work thing?
No, just a work thing. The work thing was making me too competitive. I got too wound up. It wasn't fun. I was like stressed out.
You wanted
even
to
when
leave.
I got that 2, I was like, I think that guess I was like, I'd gotten like a 2 greens and a yellow, or like 2 yellows even, and it really didn't seem like there was anything that it could be except for the word there, T-H-E-I-R.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this doesn't make... It didn't seem like a Wordle word. And I was like, I really don't think it could be. But
it's not quite
I might
a noun.
Well.
It's not a thing. It's just a random word. Although, but today you just had 1 yellow. Pull up your 1 on your phone.
Yeah.
I'm very curious. Was the last... Was it the first letter?
Today?
That gave it away? Like, was your word ended in a C and then it began with a C or something?
You know what's funny? I actually... I'll show you everything. But I did my Wordle for the first time today on my computer instead of my phone.
Oh, did you? Really interesting. And that's when you got the, that's when you got the 2?
Yeah.
On your computer.
On my computer.
That's a crazy, and you got so lucky too.
Why is it different?
You got really lucky. You got really lucky. On the computer, was it? Let's see.
Well, I'll show you.
It's on your phone, you have to redo it now, right? Because you haven't done it.
I just redid it. Yeah, but I did do it on the computer.
Okay.
All right. This was my first word.
You're trembling.
Is that not
value?
That's so fucking weird.
Yeah, because it's not like you knew that it started with a C. You just got a fucking vowel. It down to like 1,000 words.
Yeah. And I was like, I have no fucking clue what it could be. I kept on like thinking, and my second guess, I would like, I almost wrote trade, which has the E in the same place and an A.
Right.
And I was like, oh no, I gotta move the E. God, where would it be? And then I just made it in the middle. That's what today's was so much more satisfying.
Cause
I
was like, a reward, surprised. A joy. Yeah.
The other day I was like, I feel like I had gotten so close that I was like, it's basically sad if I can't get it in two today.
A lot of pressure because that was your first
one. Chest. Yeah. Yeah, it was. I was surprised. I was delighted. I didn't think I had a chance.
Yeah.
And then I did.
From value to chest, my God, congratulations. So you're not retiring. You're just sort of, you just left the company Wordle Slack, which became too competitive.
I do consider myself retired because I didn't play yesterday. I'm not going to play every day. And when I play, I just share it with my family. So there's not really any kind of like competition. The company Wordle Slack, we started keeping score. Marika has like an active spreadsheet.
Marika kept score. Don't blame it on me. I love that she did that, but it wasn't my idea or anything like that.
Yeah, totally. But people embraced it. People liked it.
Yeah, but I think we were at the very least fake supportive in there. Like when somebody got a 2, it wasn't like, fuck you, I got a 4.
Yeah,
I was
like, congratulations. No, right. It wasn't toxic. All of it's on me for the way I kind of like get competitive. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't an environment where I could thrive. And I think I was also playing worse Wordle because of that, as evidenced by today. Pressure's off and I've just got a 2, you know?
Yeah. And then I sent your results to the Wordle Slack since you weren't in there. And Marika's like, yeah, he already told us about it. So you are still sort of bragging about the good scores still, aren't you?
Well, Mariko's in the office and it made sense.
All right, let's take a break, come back, answer some more questions, or I guess answer questions at all on the other side of these messages. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we have returned.
Oh, here's a good one. Do you want to answer? This one is just from a guy who says, stop fucking talking about Wordle every episode. Mm-hmm. Or somebody else asked a pretty interesting Wordle question about strategy and whether his fiance is cheating. Let's answer that one.
Yeah, let's do that.
So we'll call this guy Ringo. I'm currently in a heated conversation with my fiance about her Wordle strategy. And as the Wordle god, I really need your help. Jake can weigh in two, I guess.
You actually do get a lot of twos. It's pretty crazy.
I got a two the day you got a two, but enough about that. Our argument is over the fact that this lady thinks that it is not cheating if you write down your answers on a piece of paper. I think this is totally against the rules. I'm over here struggling my ass off, but she will write down all her answers down first before guessing. She pretty much gets it in two or three every time. I've never written in before, but as a longtime listener, you understand how much this means to me. Please save my relationship.
I don't understand. Like, writes down, like, the words once they're...
So, I didn't quite understand this strategy either as somebody who doesn't write it down until I saw a TikTok where a guy, like, when he got down to the cater water later thing, mm-hmm. he's like, I'm going to try to eliminate all the other possible first letters it could be. So he starts writing down words with like the possible first letters in there, like B, L, C. So he's like, I'm going to guess black and that'll show me whether there's a B, L, or C in the first letter. So he's like mm-hmm. writing stuff down almost like Sudoku style, giving himself the options before he can choose what words to do.
Interesting.
It's kind of like an advanced technique. Would you say it's cheating?
No, wait, like he's just writing down all of the possible letters?
Before, yeah, like, you know, when you had value and you're like, okay, mm-hmm. you thought of chest first and you just went with it.
Mm-hmm.
But in theory, you could have written down five words and be like, let me maximize which five words I should do and see exactly which road I should go down. Like maybe chest isn't correct. Maybe I should do like breast or something like that. Because it'll eliminate these letters, and these letters often go with this letter and all this stuff.
I see. I don't think if you work harder at the game that it can be cheating. Like that seems like you're just taking it more seriously.
You're implementing advanced strategy.
Yeah. But like I write words. I don't write anything down like physically, but like I'll type a word out in Wordle and be like, that's a possibility. Type yeah. another one. That's a possibility. And yeah. then
you don't want to commit are, yet.
Right. Those are like in my head.
Right.
I don't like, understand. Like he's saying that like it's theory, cheating if you consider what words you might write down.
In theory, if you were doing like easy mode and you had it down to blank A-T-E-R, instead of guessing later cater and water, you could have come up with a fifth word that had all three of those letters in it. And then you can exactly know what the sixth guess should have been.
I think I get it now. Yeah. So he's saying
she's like so it's coming not, up with she's writing a bunch of options. Not necessarily, that's just the one that I saw. But she was writing down a bunch of options and then trying to figure out which one to go with from there.
So she'd write down a bunch of options and then guess a word that had all of those options.
I don't know if that's what she did, but that's just one strategy that I saw online.
I think that's playing without honor. I think that's playing easy. That's playing true easy mode. I'm someone that hasn't switched on hard mode, but I auto play hard mode. And I think that's playing the gentleman's Wordle.
The gentleman's way. And you're playing yeah. the coward's way.
Yeah. I think that you can't share that and be like, yeah, I got it. Because you, I mean, technically it's not cheating, but it's playing on easy mode, which is
if she's playing
shameful.
On easy mode. But what if she's doing it on hard mode? If she's doing it she's on hard doing mode, on but hard also mode, writing down, you'll
no,
allow it.
No, that's fine. You're allowed to use tools at your disposal like that.
Like writing down. Cheating. Let me come up with five words that could possibly be for the third guess and then input it officially rather than, oh, I just thought of the first one it could be. Let me just put it right in.
Right. Yeah. I think coming up with a list of words in your head is perfectly legal strategy. I wouldn't even suggest that like everybody go with like the first word they think of. I mean, I often do.
Right.
I don't think that's good strategy, and I don't think it would be cheating if someone didn't do that.
Yeah, and if you should write down those words, that's not necessarily cheating either.
That's right.
Okay, so Our ruling is that your fiance, unfortunately for you, is not cheating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And ultimately, she is getting more twos and threes than you. Proof is in the pudding, I guess.
Sorry.
Here's someone whose relationship isn't going quite as well as that.
Okay.
We'll call him John.
Love it.
Because he might be dating a Yoko, if you know what I mean.
Oh, dear. By the way, I thought of the song that I really like, and it's Carry That Weight.
Boy, you got to carry that weight. Yeah.
Carry that weight a long time. Yeah, that's good.
My relationship is going so rough that I want my girlfriend to cheat on me. So when we break up, she's the one in the wrong. How can I convince my girlfriend to cheat on me so we can break up? P.S. I know I should just break up with her, but years and years of manipulative behavior, spelled the British way, so maybe he is John, finds me at a loss when talking to her about us.
Huh.
Have you ever felt that where it's like, this relationship is over, but I want that other person to break up with me. That way, don't get the guilt and I get the freedom.
Definitely. You're looking for the easy out, the free pass. I've wished for this myself, absolutely, because you don't want to have the difficult. I mean, I think I did it more because I was a coward, less because I was in a toxic relationship that I was being manipulative or manipulated.
I think what people usually do is like, I'm just going to start being a bad person so that this other person has to break up with me. It's like, sorry, let me break up plans. Sorry, let me be indifferent towards you. And if you want to break up with me, then that's your problem. You did it. So it's just like, I'm going to be kind of a dickling to you until you can't handle it anymore, just like me. But instead of being the better person and breaking up, you should do it for me.
Yeah, which is, that's like the ultimate worst thing you can do, I think.
Right. That's even worse than what she's been doing, basically.
Right. Yeah. I think, and you can't, I don't know. She's not going to cheat on you. So you do have to break. He already knows what he has to do. You have to break up with her.
And unfortunately, you do have to break up. What about a service that allows you to pay for other people to hopefully cheat on, like you hire a really handsome man to hook up with your lady or handsome lady to hook up with your man? That way you have the easy out or something like that. Is there a business plan there?
I mean, I feel like that exists. Like those things definitely exist. They're like, I don't know, those weird private eyes to like, I feel like it's more for like really jealous types though. It's like, I need try to lure
track.
Or
what if you hire a private eye so handsome that the lady falls in love with them?
I feel like
the key,
probably. This is another fucking great movie we could write. And we could write the soundtrack for it because it's actually not that hard. Like, Love Me Secret. Love Me Secret.
That's Love Me Do.
Mm-hmm, right. Love. Okay. How about Secret?
What about
Our Secret Love?
That's good. Our Secret Love is good. But what about Listen? Do you want to know a secret? Promise not to tell.
That is really good. Did you just come up with that?
That one's a real Beatles song, unfortunately. But I'm saying something like that. Yeah.
So something like exact. I mean, not
do
exactly
you want
like
to know
that.
A lie instead of a secret or something like that.
That's not bad. I mean, how many people know that one? I would
millions.
Wonder. Right.
Because what about a movie where nobody knows the Beatles, and then so you can come up with a song that suddenly you're the guy?
What about a movie where nobody knows about the movie that they wrote? Yeah, where no one knew about the Beatles.
I think we've pitched that. Haven't we talked about it? It sounds oddly familiar too. I was like, what was the name of that movie?
We joked about this, like how if we lived suddenly in a world where the Beatles didn't exist, we wouldn't be able to capitalize on it at all.
It's a fine song. Your singing sucks and you don't know how to write the music. Okay. So we're just going to listen to the Rolling Stones.
8 days a week. I know there's seven, but it's kind of an interesting spin on it. Ow. Here's what I would tell this guy to do. Just imagine that she cheated on you and break up on her as such. So that'll help you convince,
down to the accusation or
no, you just say, I'm sorry, but I can't be with you. And then, that's what you might say if somebody cheated on you. It's like, you know, why? It's like, I can't forgive you for what you did, but not very specific. But actually, like, and, you know, maybe she'll think she'll that you're thinking about the manipulation that you've been suffering. But actually, you're thinking about the faux cheating in your head.
How about that for the song?
But really what you're trying to do is make it so she has no ground to stand on when she's trying to convince you to not break up. That's you're trying to make it so she's done something unforgivable where she can't come to you and and ask for forgiveness because it's not possible. But just actually, picture that instead of cheating, that the, you know, the ultimate crime is all that you've suffered already.
Actually, I think this is why people cheat in general, where it's like the guy should just cheat because that's why you start looking for other stuff and then you get in trouble and then they break up with you. Mm-hmm. Is that any worse than trying to get the other person to cheat? Almost less manipulative if you think about it.
I don't know. I think they're both really, really bad. They're probably tied for really, really being bad because like, Those are two traumatic experiences to put someone through just because you're too afraid to like stick to your guns in a conversation. And I think that ultimately you have to take the responsibility, unfortunately for you. There's probably ways that you can psych yourself up to do it.
Are you sad that you are kind of in a reality where you, I mean, I don't want to say never, but might never break up with somebody ever again? Like that experience is behind you forever.
Yeah, no, I don't think I will miss that at all. Breaking up is not fun. But I guess you can fun. It's not fun to
fire a contractor. That sort of gives you the same thrill.
Yeah, because it's what it's about though is the euphoria and freedom that you feel afterwards. So definitely think about that. Like,
so it has to be bad because it leads to such good.
Yeah, it's not fun to break up with somebody, but it's fun to wake up the next day and feel like, I'm a new person. This is good. The world is full of possibilities.
There's a basketball coach who was like, I think it was the Suns coach who said, this is really hard, but it's supposed to be hard because everything you want is on the other side of hard. So like breaking up is hard to do, which actually is a really good song. And I don't even know if he said it or if I just misheard it in a way that I now am the quote's owner. But I would be like,
wait, you
misheard everything it. You want is on the other side of hard. This one's more of like a Guns N' Roses style rock ballad. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the genre is everything you want to do is on the other side of hard. You also said breaking up is hard to do, which I think is already a song.
That one's a song. That one is a song. But I'm coming up with a new one. What's hard is to create a new song because all the songs are sort of taken that like after a few notes you just sort of drift into. That's my question, like if you're writing a song, how do you make sure that it's never, there's only seven fucking chords, I'm sure it's all been done, but it's all been done, that's one even.
Right, there's another one. Yeah, but you go C, G, D, back to G, you know,
and right then, and like that's been done, but like the way you sing it is different. Like
the way that I would do those chords, you know, no problem. C, G, D, G. Awesome combo right there. And then you have to come up with new words.
Everything you want is on the other side of hard. Yeah, done. So okay, like now
it's a little long. It's like, why don't we say...
Other side of hard.
Other side of hard. I'll say, okay, great. So like I'll be there. I'll see you on the other side of hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So like it's all about
on the other side of hard.
Don't try to sing over me because you can't really
harmonize.
But it's like, it's kind of like, so C, G, then down to D, and then here we go.
On the other side of hard. Yeah.
Not even close, but you get the kind of the vibe.
Do you have an axe? Like, I feel like we might need to, at the very least, commit it to a podcast. That way we have like kind of copyright ownership claim towards this tune.
Totally. All right. So there's a guitar in the other room that's missing a string and it's untuned. But I feel like that's going to be.
That might even make it like an original.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Yeah. Actually, let's take a break and you come back. We'll have the guitar and then we can fucking jam out with our cam out.
Great.
That's when I jerk off on a camera.
Oh, all right. don't do the rock and roll horns after that. So small. Oh no, limp.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous. Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, we're back, and Jake got his fucking, what is that, a Strat, Fender Strat?
It is a Fender.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's a Stratocaster because it's an acoustic.
That's really cool. Okay. All right. So this is just, we're going to start trying to get something down. Like, this is how it is. You just sort of riff.
You just have to fuck around. This is what Get Back was.
Yeah. And so the guitar is broken?
Yeah. So it hasn't been tuned in a long time.
And it's missing.
I believe it's the E string. So
I see. Isn't there, the E is the top and the bottom one, right?
Right. So it's the high E.
The lowest string is missing.
Right. Yeah. The highest pitch, lowest one.
Okay.
But that's okay. Yeah. So this is what the C sounds like on this guitar.
Okay.
Yeah. Not great. G is bad because, you know, I don't have that D
the
string.
The E, yeah.
You have the E string, yeah. Yeah. The D is going to be worse because...
Oh. Okay.
But it could also maybe, you know, that's...
It could be about that.
Right.
My broken guitar or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So kind of like, my guitar is broken.
Yeah, obviously.
So is my heart.
That's good.
Okay.
And then everything you want is on the other side of heart.
Right. Yeah.
But which rhyme with heart.
So okay. It's a little too country because everything you want is... on the other side of heart.
This is when the crowd all sings with you.
Yeah. On the other side of heart. On the other side of heart.
That's really good.
Everything that you could want is on the other side of heart. Something kind of like...
Right, and it doesn't have to be good yet because like a right. Dr. Luke type will style it up and like auto-tune it in a way that makes it sound good.
On the other side of heart.
It's kind of like Dark Side of the Moon, but about how everything you want, like a better guitar, is on the other side of heart. So like it's always a little bit hard.
The other side of heart. Or it's like, yeah.
What about boulevard as a rhyming word?
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
On the other side of hard.
Down
across
the boulevard. Yeah.
On the other side of hard.
That's cool. And then it pulls out and you're like on Hard Street or something. And like Boulevard and Hard Street or something like that.
And then you're talking about like, and I can't park my car.
That's really good. Because of
street
sweeping.
And I can't play my card.
My guitar, yeah.
My guitar.
Because the guitar's broken. Yeah. Yeah.
On the other side of hard. Yeah.
We should do a... We should do a 3-part, 9-hour documentary about two complete morons riffing and making an album that ultimately really sucks. So, like, that would be one of the songs.
On the other side part. Didn't I text you a few weeks ago that we should write a pop punk album?
Yeah. And I'm like, as a joke? You're like, no, kind of a real one, right?
Yeah. I think it'd be really fun to write an earnest pop punk album,
right?
That's just kind
of. I sort
of like,
want to make a Get Back style mock you, rockumentary.
I would do that too. I'm all for us doing something stupid and
for a long time.
For a long time, because it
is
would
Get
be
Back
nice.
Black and white,
huh? Yeah,
is Get Back
it's in black and white. Yeah,
so that'll make it just, easier.
And there's also a lot of funny, like just cameos of other musicians, producers, all that stuff. So we could have like.
Improvisers come in and just like
HeadGum podcasters,
like it. They walk in and they're like into it or not. And then doing like a talking head thing. I guess it'd be funny if they're all really into it in the room and then it cuts to their testimonial and they're all scared, disinterested, and disappointed in how the process is going. Because they also funded this thing and it's not going well, obviously.
And this is the kind of dumb thing that we can do now because we have videographers and editors at HeadGum. Mm-hmm. We're free from needing to pitch this to anybody to give us cash to make it.
Yeah, we just can't say, like, this is on Netflix or Hulu. It can't come with any, like, prestige because no one's going to pay us to do it.
Yeah, we'll just put it on YouTube. It'll be a two-hour-long fucking mockumentary that we put on.
I guess we can always say it's on Netflix, but you can watch it on YouTube for free. And then people just won't. They'll probably just not watch it on Netflix.
By the way, I really think we should make it punk because I think I can actually write punk songs.
Oh, really?
In addition to that. Right. Well, I can't write a Beatles song, but I can actually write a punk song.
Well, there are still slow punk songs too, right? Like there's like every punk album has like the 10 punk songs and then like the slow song, right?
Yeah. And that's the kind of song I could definitely write. Like acoustic punk songs.
Yeah.
We'd be, yeah, game over.
It'd be golden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, cool. I guess we should still do this podcast, though, because just in case that one isn't necessarily our ticket out of here.
I think that's fair.
This one's about flying, which I think you have a lot of opinions on.
What was this one about?
Flying.
Flying. Oh, yes. I certainly do.
Paul George. George. We haven't talked about George that much. George, who I think wrote, at the very least performed, I Got My Mind Set on You, which might be like the best Beatles song that's not an actual Beatles song.
Right, that's just a George Harrison song.
Original, killed it, congrats. So George writes, I'm on a months-long work trip overseas, and because of COVID restrictions around the world, I constantly thought it best to fly my wife and daughter to meet me in the States so we could have Christmas together in New York this year. We could use a chance to have the holiday experience, though I'm working on and off. And... here's the issue. The people paying for my flight have booked me on a business class from Europe and my wife and daughter on economy. This is the first time I've ever flown business for work, so I was excited about it for 5 seconds, and then I immediately felt guilty. They're stuck in economy while I'm drinking champagne on a bed? That's not fair. Should I swap my wife and daughter? Should I swap with my wife and daughter or daughter? Or do I downgrade my ticket and hang out with them? Or do I take my assigned seat and try to not feel guilty?
I know what you want to do because of the language assigned seat.
I mean, it is assigned.
I don't know if I'm even allowed to swap. I'll talk to the pilot if I can get his ear.
There's a middle seat, he said. It doesn't even sound that close to you. It sounds like I'm actually closer in distance. I think
assignment-wise... I don't know. It feels pretty rigid.
Because your flight was free, which is obviously the best. I have a free upgrade, which is like not that. I'm jealous of you, basically, because you got the free flight. I just got an upgrade.
And you get to be with the family back here. You too? Dang, I hope you don't talk too much about me.
Let's switch it half. Then you fall asleep, obviously, because you're wasted on the 180 bed. And then you end up like switching maybe 90 minutes before you land. And then you're like, my back kind of...
This is a tough one to give up because it's a Euro flight. If it's a regional, if it's like Dulles to Philly or something,
okay. Not that big of an upgrade.
Right. Nothing. But yeah, you're going transatlantic. That's
a good one. Have you ever experienced this specifically, you flying with Jill and they upgrade you and not her? Like you have status and she doesn't necessarily. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gotten the upgrade instead?
Yes, multiple times. I've never, ever taken it for myself.
Wow. You always give it to her or you say no thank you?
I always give it to her. There was one time, actually, when we were flying back to get married. We were flying back the weekend before our wedding. And I tried to, like, use my, like, I get, like, 4 upgrades a year or whatever. And I tried to use them both to upgrade us to first class so we could go out in style. But... only I got upgraded and she didn't. So I tried to make her take the upgrade and she wouldn't do it. And we just gave it to a random guy that was sitting next to her. And I was like, do you want to go sit in first class? my my wife won't do it. My fiance won't do it.
Wow.
And he was like, oh, okay. And then he went, and then like the flight attendants heard what I did, and then they brought us champagne.
You were just mad at Jill for not taking it. Thank you.
I was like, I wanted to sit next to this guy.
Actually, get the guitar.
Really? We already used three chords, so there's not a lot left. But I'm thinking we could do something with like F.
Yeah. Again, the guitar is broken and out of tune, so it's a little hard to get into it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. So, but F, F, C, A minor, G, maybe.
Yeah. That's cool.
So bad.
Yeah. Something about upgrading yourself. Go upgrade yourself. Have it to your own. You can be up there and leave me back here on the floor or something like that. Where it's like, yeah, knock yourself out. Go and treat you well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, leave me here on the floor is pretty good. That's that punk energy that I want. Yeah.
And then
leave me on the floor.
Yeah. You're in first class. And my ass is in grass, because if this plane crashes, it won't matter who died last or something like that. Because like
perfect.
Technically, yeah, because she's going to die first, because he's like, cause if it head down, you know, into the ground, technically she dies a split second before you.
Yeah. If this plane goes down, it won't matter because my life already crashed. Something like that.
Yeah, because like she died and they're like, what's the worth living for?
And, oh no! Yeah, you could like throw in some other plane stuff. So like turbulence.
Oh, that's
in
good.
My heart.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh no! I survived. Isn't this sort of what happened to Travis Barker? Did he survive a fatal plane crash?
I believe he did. He fucked up.
I almost want to pitch it to his ass, but that would be so.
Really
out of the blue.
Yeah. I don't think Travis would be into it.
Yeah. Well, I did have that alien song for Tom, but my heart's kind of set on the Travis one now. And then there's Mark. What's Mark's thing? If one of them sort of survived a plane crash, the other one believes in extraterrestrial life.
Mark is just kind of more like normal and cool, but I think he has cancer.
Oh yeah. I think he beat cancer.
Oh, he beat it? Great.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Surviving. I guess they're all survivors in a way.
Respect.
You sat next to Mark at a hockey game once, so that could be about that.
That's right. Did we talk about that? I think we did.
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. A lot you talked about it.
Right. I didn't know if I had talked about it on the podcast. Yeah. It's a special night.
You must have been so fucking absolutely starstruck. Did you know that you were sitting next to him, or you just sat down and you're like, holy shit, that's Mark Hoppus?
I did not know. I did not know then he was there. Then we like made small talk, and I thought that was really fucking cool, because I was like, this guy doesn't know that I love him, and we're just chatting and it's casual. And I like made him laugh with a joke. And then at one point I felt comfortable enough to tell him that I was a huge fan, and then the conversation sort of died after that.
Yeah, it's
but then later he found out that I worked at College Humor. Yeah,
oh.
Then but then he found out I worked at College Humor, and he like kind of warmed back up to me.
So he had heard of that.
Yeah, he had heard of it, and I think he ended up eventually later doing a College Humor video, though I had nothing to do with it.
He Blink-182 did a College Humor video?
I think just Mark Hoppus did.
Wow, and you had nothing to do with it? What was it?
I think it was like one of those like Streeter songs or something.
Oh right, like about how he doesn't like his dad or something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was like something about being a drummer, but I'm not entirely sure. Nobody cares about the I think it was like nobody cares about the bassist.
Is he a bassist?
Mark Hoppus is, yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of the most famous bassist in a way, cuz like they usually don't let the guy with the bass sing lead, right?
Yeah. What about Flea?
What about Flea?
The guy from Starting Line was also
actually
a bassist.
Get the guitar. What about Flea? Okay, three more strings, Frank.
I'll get the guitar, but we're running out of chords.
By the end of this documentary, your guitar should have one string left and it's falling apart.
We have nothing to show
for
ourselves.
Never ever tuned it.
It took 7 hours, but we finally destroyed a guitar.
I'm going to restring and tune my guitar for next time.
Okay, so we can have it. It's hard to do it over Zoom because, like, while I sing, I can't hear the guitar.
Yeah, definitely.
We have to save it for
in
studio.
We should get one. Yeah, in the studio. In the studio, that's what we should do.
An exclusive. Mm-hmm. All right, sweet. That's it. Thanks for writing in. Thanks for the theme song that inspired an entire song episode. Although it was brewing just because of our creative juices seem to be overflowing recently.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If you have your own questions, your own theme songs, you can send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Indeed.
Opening theme song, same as the last, which is written by Elias. It's the Beatles parody.
Yes.
It's kind of cool. We were doing Beatles parodies the entire time. It's like, oh yeah, I forgot. Like, this one was also pretty good in addition to the ones we came up with. So,
right.
Like,
yeah. I feel like the three of us actually could really
the three Beatles
crush.
They should call us.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
The Threedles. How dope is that? Mm-hmm. Who says Threedles? No to that? And if you want some more of us, we're making videos. We're watching Jake and Amir episodes on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Yeah, that's right.
I was going to say Jake and Amir, but that's not true.
Right.
And of course, we will be back next week, as always, forever. See you soon. Ciao. Namaste. Goodbye. And good night.
The Beatles Peace. Spent like a bad amount of money recording the song.
That's not good, right?
Not necessarily.
Not at all.
You're watching the If I Were You show. Well, you know, they're gonna give you some advice.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And
why
don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Hmm? Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.